unusual care in inspecting baggage and credentials. After waiting in line for almost 2 hours, one man finally said in a loud voice, "Entering the United States is harder than entering the Kingdom of Heaven." Whereupon one of the immigration officers shot back, "My friend, there's a lot more folks try in." Dear friends, not so in today's gospel, in which everyone is trying to get into the Kingdom of Heaven. All are lined up waiting the king's final judgment. It comes down to this. Jesus says, "Did you see your neighbor through God's eyes and act accordingly? If you did, you have God's blessing. You have inherited the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But if the judgment is that you did not live in this manner, then in the language of the parable, you will inherit that which was prepared for the devil and his companions or his angels." Dear friends, students applying for admission to a college psychology course were asked to fill out a questionnaire. Among the questions asked were, "What is your hobby and what is your ambition?" One student answered, "My hobby is taking apart my Jeep. My ambition is to be able to put it back together." Ambition. Getting our lives together in order to achieve self-esteem and self-respect and peace of mind. In order to experience a sense of worthwhileness and purposefulness. In order to experience an "I am okay" feeling. These are the ambitions of us all. Sure, we want to get it all together, but how complicated the process seems to have become in our time. In recent years, there has been an explosion of popular books on how to take ourselves apart and put ourselves back together. The pop psychology shelves are loaded with how to do it books on getting it all together. I'm not making a blanket condemnation of such books, no. Clearly, some of them have been very helpful to some people. But so many books of this kind are being published, each with its own so-called fresh approach to the subject of who we are and what we ought to do, that they tend to be sources of confusion rather than clarification. Ironically, when you sort out all this material and sift it all down, most of it seems to end up emphasizing that in order to achieve wholeness of life, we need to care for one another. We need to understand that one cannot get it all together in isolation. In today's gospel, Jesus is saying exactly that. "Come," Jesus says, "you whom my Father has blessed, take for your heritage the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Jesus is saying, in effect, you have achieved wholeness of life. You have become the kind of unique, beautiful person the Father will receive in his kingdom. You have discovered the simple secret of how to get it all together. Why? Because Jesus says, you are a caring person, sensitive to the needs of others. Where you see hunger, you give food. Thirst, you give drink. Nakedness, you give clothing. Illness, you give comfort. Loneliness, you give friendship. difference? Do we really believe that? Do we really accept Jesus' vision of coming kingdom of God? Are we a Christian visionary? Do we accept Jesus' criteria for judging whether or not we are a whole together person and therefore an authentic citizen of the kingdom? Jesus says that it is the kind deed and the act born of loving concern for another's need on which the Father pronounces his blessing and for which the Father welcomes us into his kingdom. Brothers and sisters, society usually labels persons as nuts who accept at the deepest level of their being Jesus' criteria for the really together person. Full-fledged fools for Christ, as the Apostle Paul called them, are regarded in their own time as nuts, fanatics, social freaks, crazy visionaries. It is not until later, after they are gone from this earth, that the label nut is removed and the label saint is applied. Yet in today's gospel, Jesus tells us in simple, direct, uncompromising terms that our life's fulfillment depends absolutely on our acceptance of the standards he has set for us. Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, visit the prisoners, clothe the naked, etc. It's as simple as that. And dear friends, no stranger king than our King of Kings has ever ruled. In fact, he is so strange that most people do not really believe he does rule. Who ever heard of a king who erased the distance between himself and the beggar? Who ever heard of a ruler whose commitment was to serve and to die in obedience to the need of the least of his subjects? Christ the King. The King who rules not from a throne, but from a cross. Christ the King who told his friend Peter to put away his one pitiful little sword, for he would rule by the power of love alone. There are many who admire him. What a refreshing change from the brutal realities of everyday life. What a marvelous integrity he shows. What magnificent idealism. But this king, the king of the universe, is not interested in such praise. He does not call us to admire him in this way. Such admiration only elevates him to a level safely above our everyday world so that we can then go on with business as usual, pausing only now and then to acknowledge his beautiful but hopelessly unrealistic example. The only admiration he calls for is the admiration of imitation. To worship him is to serve him. All other worship is false. May God bless us. Amen.